today is an important day, and I'll tell you why. We finished out Erev, I dealt with Gezerah, and I'm not here to paskin halach lemaiser again. I don't really know what the status is in Manhattan, but I think you all understand that Erev and the whole question of Erev in a big city and to worry about future generations, it's not a simple matter. Halacha lemaisa, I would say that to worry that people won't know you can't carry makes no halachic sense whatsoever. Engels ring Gezeira, Jason, that we cannot make Gezeira on our own. And if the Goyim already said that, the Rishonim, who are we to come along and worry about children won't know they can't carry? If that's the case, then you can't raise your children in Israel, you can't raise your children in Kew Gardens and Forest Hills and Muncie. And in all these places, Reb Moshe was Mata D'Erev. So as far as what I needed for this course per se, for the introduction, I stand on what I said, that Ein Gozrin Gezeirot Bizman Hazeh. The question of Erev in a major city, and the problem of 600,000, and Sratyam Platya, and the Bibitzarev for Snifin Leheta, these are major problems. And I don't want to pass on halacha lemaisa, but I can only tell you in Manhattan, I wear my watch. The few times I'm in Manhattan for Shabbat, I do not take off my watch. I wear my watch. So that much, I'm samach on the Erev. If I lived in Manhattan, there's no doubt in my mind I would check it out thoroughly, and this, I'm told by J.J. Shech, the Meitikunim in the Erev, and you're dealing with reliable people. I don't know how reliable many rabbis are, and again, I don't like rabbis that come and go, but Rabbi J.J. Shechter today is certainly one of the most important, influential rabbanim in the New York City area, and he's a first-rate Talmud Chacham. He's not a YU product. He's a graduate of Mir, and a graduate of Yale, which doesn't mean that YU products are not, but he's someone that should certainly be, to a certain degree, acceptable to the right-wing world. And you would have to ask him halach lemaisa what the story is, and then reach your own decision. But as Jay Pastner found out, you cannot dismiss those that are Mekil. Yes, and as the Rebbe said, he never carried on Shabbos. Nowhere, I believe maybe one of the few places in the world that can actually carry would be in the old city of Jerusalem, where it's entirely surrounded by a wall. And even there, I don't know, the Pirtzot in the wall, maybe there he would have a problem with the Pirtzot in the wall, that it's more than Shishar Sarama, perhaps, Jaffa Gate, I would imagine is. But certainly the Rebbe said he would check the Erev in Chaslovich on Thursday, and he wouldn't carry on Shabbos. So that's halacha lemaisa, Flatbush, Borough Park. Again, the machlokot there that were fought, it seems to me, it makes me sad that Torah Jews can rip down a river on Shabbos and the poster wars that went on. But that's part of the modern life, and we'll have to leave that to sociologists. Now, everything I said from August through Erev Pesach or through Purim, everything I said was by way of introduction to what will be a 10-year course to give you some feel in halacha and how it works, the innermost fibers, its breathing, its soul, etc. Today I want to start, I thought that the introduction would last half a year, it took me a little bit longer, so I'm running a little bit behind, but then again in life, there isn't a Rebbe in the world who doesn't run behind, and that's an open Gemara that I've quoted many times in Masechet Sanhedrin, dealing with the Kelev HaMalakeik Min Hayam. So don't feel bad if a Rebbe ever teaches all that he thinks he's going to teach, then you have to feel bad. But if you don't succeed in reaching your quota, then you have to feel happy because you know that you're doing a proper job. How is your parents? How are your parents? Yeah, I'm happy to hear. Marzik Mamet, send regards and all best. Now, what I want to do now, and again, there's so many different halachic topics. I was asked a very difficult question just last night in a medical issue, and the person that asked me was amazed to see what I did. I picked up a phone to one of the leading doctors in the state of Israel. I got all my information from him, and then I passed him the shayla. But there's so many questions in halacha, and the truth of the matter is, very few of us know everything. There are certain areas that appeal to us, that attract us, for whatever the reasons are, in the yeshiva, the no one is saying Shum today in Kadshim and Tarot outside of Rabbi Yossi Soloveitchik. In these yeshivas, everyone is learning the Zikin and Hashem. Nope, that's true. And Chazal already say, Ein Adam Lomeid Elamasha Libo Rotze Lumod. You only learn what you're interested, what attracts you. That's what you want to become an expert on. Now, when I look at the topics, why did I pick the various topics that I've dealt with in the 10-year cycle? For whatever the reasons were, these were topics that attracted me. The topic I want to begin today, it's a topic that will occupy our minds for 2 to 3 years, and it's, to me, one of the most basic topics, fascinating topics, and it's an integral part of life. And I want to deal just with one little aspect, marriage. Marriage. That's all I'm interested in, is the concept of marriage. Now, I want to come back to something I said to you in passing many months ago, and I want to recall the words, and like a computer, I want to call it up again, and I want to zero in on these words, and you'll understand why. Bernard Drevel Graduate School. What is a graduate school? What is Bernard Drevel? Does it have a place on the spectrum? Doesn't it have a place on the spectrum? And all of you know from the day that the graduate school was opened, which goes back already to 1935, there's always been a debate, doesn't have a place in a yeshiva framework. All of this goes back, of course, to what happened in the 1700s when the Jews came out of the ghetto and suddenly Jews went to university, and some of these very Jews refused to become Christians, remained Jews, but they approached Judaic subjects in a scientific fashion. That gave birth to Leopold Sunz. Yomtiv Lipman Sunz was the founder of the school, Wissenschaft des Judentum, Chochmat Yisrael, the science of Jewish scholarship. And from that day until today, we have yeshivat, and we have a graduate school approach. Now, where do you find the graduate school approach? For instance, in the United States of America, the school that was most famous throughout the decades was the Jewish Theological Seminary, which literally was a graduate school approach with great teachers, great professors, world-class scholars, Louis Ginsberg, for instance, later to be succeeded by Saul Lieberman. And these were first-rate scholars, and that was a graduate school approach with all that that implies. The Hebrew University, throughout the decades, has had probably the finest faculty of Chochmat Yisrael. They have a different problem today. They have the finest faculty, and they have no students, practically none whatsoever, in the Chochmat Yisrael program, in the Talmudic programs. They're on the verge of closing down. It's almost absurd that they don't know what to do with the Talmud department. They have the finest faculty in the world, among them world-class Talmidei Chachamim, first-rate scholars, and no students. And the answer is obvious, because nowadays anyone who wants to study Torah on a high level goes to a yeshiva, more or less. If you don't want to go to a black yeshiva, you go to a white yeshiva, a Hesder yeshiva. But the Hebrew University, which was world famous, look who they had there, Ephraim Elimelech Orbach, Professor Shraga Abramson. I mean, these, just the mere mention of the names, these are Gedolei Yisrael who went into scientific scholarship, giants and giants, Professor Simcha Asaf. He was professor of the 40s into the 50s. I mean, the man was a giant of Torah. These were yeshiva bachrim who conquered the secular world, and their knowledge was second to none. Now, it doesn't have a place in YU. And here you come to a very delicate question. YU, after all, is a yeshiva. We have the yeshiva method, the yeshiva approach, with all that that implies. YU is greatly influenced by the brisk of Elashon Derech. What does this have to do with a graduate school? Now, I don't want to waste any more time. The lecture on Bernard Drevel is a question unto itself, and I can deal with it in a different context, but I need 2 hours. But I only want to say one thing. There is room, in my opinion, for a graduate school approach in YU, where you take Talmidei Chachamim and you expose them to another vantage point, a different type of insight. You need a first-rate Talmud Chacham, and you expose him to historical, sociological, economic implications. Because there's no doubt in my mind, there is no life without responsible literature, And there is no response to literature without life. In other words, I'd hate to live, if I can put it more bluntly, there's no life without halacha. You live without halacha, so you will see the youth of today, Chaim Rimon, the great Chaim Rimon, who, thank God, is splitting the Labor Party, this Meshumad. And I have to give, Nechama, I have to give Professor Yeshaya Leibowitz credit. The man is afraid of nobody, of nothing. He shoots from the hip, never retracts what he says. And now he called the Russian Aliyah, you saw what he called them, Mishumadim, Hefgayim, Totalgayim, liars, we don't need them, throw them out. Of course, I agree with him. But what about those that are tzaddikim? You understand what I'm saying? I always say, don't look at the problem cases. Accentuate the good. Look at the Russians who became Lamdanim and Tzaddikim, and I can mention names one after another, and thousands of boys and girls that are learning today in the Chinuch Atzmai and in the Bate Yaakov, Nachas V'Chalila, not in the Mamlachti Dati schools, they're not firm enough, you understand. Look at those Russians. Look at Ilana Gruda. Why must you look? You understand? But Leibowitz is right. You have the others too. So, Leibowitz, I have to give credit. He shoots from the hip. Now, one second. I got involved with Leibowitz and I lost my trend of thought. Excuse me. Oh, so Chaim Ramon, when they had that love fest and Michael Jackson was here, so they asked Chaim Ramon the next morning on the Israeli radio, "What did you think of that love fest last night when they were stretched out on the lawn making love, you know, Woodstock, and they're passing around marijuana in public?" And Ramon says, "Oh, that was great. That was wonderful. I wish I could do it." He says, "I now want to tell the youth we're going to have peace. There'll be no more army." This was, you know, right after the Oslo Agreement. "And every kid will be able to make love in public when he's 17 and smoke pot and drink liquor. Fantastic, great." Well, if you live without halacha, that's what happens to you. So there's no life without halacha. The monkeys in the zoo, and Chaim Rimon and Shulamit Aloni live exactly the same way. They have, oh, I'm being serious, there's no difference between them whatsoever. Did you ever see a monkey turn down a strawberry? Did you ever see a monkey turn down a banana? Did you ever see a lion turn down a piece of steak? That's the way they live. Instant pleasure, no religion, no concept of human greatness. This is Chaim Rimon, this is Rav Ovadia's pet, this is Ari Derry's bosom buddy, and all three of them should dance a horror together. Hashem Yirachem on Klal Yisrael. But there's no life without halacha. Similarly, there's no halacha without life. If everyone would be dead, there's no halacha. If you go to a zoo, the monkeys don't ask questions, they are spiritually dead. You go into Woodstock, you go into the lawn where Michael the Tzaddik Jackson, the great sexual Tzaddik of our generation, you understand, where he's performing, at least with Madonna, I have nothing, at least there it's normal to see a nude woman. Most normal men want to run, see a nude woman, you understand? That's a normal reaction. But to see Michael Jackson, you got to be insane, crazy, spiritually dead. And when they're spiritually dead, no one asks a shayla. I didn't get one call from the Michael Jackson concert, "Rebbe, I have a big question. Michael Jackson is jumping around with 2 10-year-old kids on the stage and acting the acts of sodomy. Should we try to stop him or should we applaud him?" I didn't get one question like that. So I repeat, there's no response to literature without life, and there's no life without response to literature. And this is the beautiful insight, the additional depth that a Bernard Revel graduate school with teachers, and in order to teach this, you have to be a gadol in Torah, you have to have insight into life, with teachers on that level and students. And this is not to take the place of bris. First, you have to be a lamdan. And then when you're a lamdan, you can polish it and develop it. And with this in mind, I want to take the topic of marriage, which all of us know. I learned Masechet Kedushin many times in my life. I don't know how many, but many times, more than 4 or 5 times, I've learned Masechet Kedushin, and all of us know the sugyas, and it's a beautiful Masechet, and Isha Nikneis, B'Shlosha Drachim. And now I want to take this little Mishnah, and I want to devote the next few years to it. Okay, now let's begin. First of all, what is Kedushin according to the Torah? And here right away we have the verbal problem. And this is a problem, Jay, I don't minimize this problem. Whenever we speak, for instance, I'll give you where there's a classic problem. The word mamza has no English translation. Whenever you use the word bastard in English for mamza, you are not translating it properly, because bastard means one thing and mamza means something practically entirely different. So that there's no English translation. The only thing you can write is mamza. Bastard means a child born out of wedlock. In halacha, a child born out of wedlock, there are no strictures against him whatsoever. A child is born out of wedlock, but he's a perfectly kosher child. Mamza means when there's an adulterous relationship or an illicit relationship that incurs a death penalty. There's a big difference. Now, the same thing. What is marriage? And that's our first problem. Marriage al pi halacha begins with a rusin. See, in English, we translate a rusin. We translate a rusin engagement. A student just came over to me and told me good news. I hope his fiancée is also telling her teachers good news. Just got engaged. The word engagement, so how would you say it in Hebrew? Hitarasti. To use the word hitarasti in halachic context is a total loss. Hitarasti means that there's actually a din of eshetish. There's a zikah, and I'll explain myself for 1 second. If we want to speak modern Hebrew halachically correct, you have to say hishtadachti. I just made a shirach. But to say hitarasti is halachically incorrect. Why? Devarim chavbet, psukim chavgimul chavdalid, and the Torah says openly, ki yiye nara betula mursali ish umatze ish beyir v'shachavima. And we say, v'yet, and both the nahara, the betula, mu'ursali ish, and it says, you do an investigation, and you find out who's guilty, and if both of them agree to it, both of them have to die. V'yet ha'ish asher al dava asher ina et eshet reyehu. And you see from an open pasuk in the Torah that mu'ureset means there's already a zikat ishut. The woman is called eshet reyehu. She's already married. Now, what is the difference? So you have a rusin and you have nisuin. There's a zikat ishut from the time of a rusin, and of course it becomes much stronger at the time of nisuin. What is the difference between the two stages? So, number one, there are basically four differences. Difference number one, midrabanan, even though you can create a rusin which equals kedushin with bia, midrabanan, you cannot have a bia shnia, only the first bia. You cannot have relations the second time. Whereas after nisuin, you have relations the rest of, as long as you're physically able to, you can have relations. So that's one difference. Number two, with a rusin, the husband is not chayav in mezonah te'isha. All of you know that the husband has an obligation to sustain his wife, to feed his wife, to clothe his wife, to take care of her physical needs, to heal his wife. And with a rusin, there's no such obligation. That obligation only begins with nisuin. Number three, a kohen cannot be metameh to a woman that he's only married to with a rusin. In order for a kohen to be metame, there has to be nisuin. There has to be the total, complete marriage. And number four, when it's a rusin, the husband does not inherit the wife. When it's nisuin, then the husband inherits the wife. And that's the fourth difference. So I'm just saying this by way of passing, that ein hachinami, when there is kedushin, we call it eshet reyehu. When there is kedushin, there is a zikat eshet ish. When there is kedushin, this concept, this relationship, is already ishut, but there are four limitations. It's not as strong, it's not as all-encompassing as the ishut that is completed or engendered by Nisuin, by the chuppah, by the completion of marriage. And the four differences are Biyashniya. Biyashniya is only muteret after Nisuin. Number two, the Baal is only chayav in mezonat dishto after Nisuin. Number three, a Kohen is only metamel ishto after Nisuin. Number four, the husband only inherits the wife after Nisuin. Okay. Now, let's come back to Erusin, or to Kedushin, or to the first part of Zikat Eshetish. How do you create it? How do you create it? The truth of the matter is, the Torah Shebichtav tells us very little about how you create a marriage, Kedushin, Erusin. Torah tells us next to nothing. We have a pasuk in the Torah, the Varim Chavtalad, Pesukim Aleph Bet, Ki Yikachi Shisha Ubala, Vahayayim Lo Timsachim Be'enav, Ki Matza Ba'eva Tava, Vikatavla Seifa Kritut, and the Torah continues, V'yatza Mibeito V'alchava Hayta Le'ish Acher. So basically, all we see in that pasuk is that a man can marry a woman through bia. Ki yikachi shisha ubala. Bia is written explicitly in the Torah. Kesef and shtar, all of you know, we learn out, it's midat shatod nidreshet behem. Kesef is kicha kicha mistei Ephron. About Steyefron in Chevron, in Maratamach Pelah, and Shtar is Vyatsavahaita, it's a Hekish, just as she goes out with a Shtar, she comes in with a Shtar. And this is the Mishnah I quoted to you before, the Mishnah in Kedushin, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Ha'isha, Niknate, Bishlosh, the Rachim, Kesev, Bishta, Ubabia. And let me just caution you, a lot of people who are ignorant, that don't know how to learn, so many times I've heard young people say to me, you need all three to marry a woman. Kesev, Shtar, and Bia. And people really believe. They believe under the chuppah you give the girl a ring, that's Kesev. Ktuva is the Shtar. And during the Yichud room, they have some sort of beer. Even if they don't have relations, but it has to be regular beer. You know, the Gemara in Ketuvah. And I've heard so many people say this to me. And this is the absolute ignorance. Am haratzot. The Mishnah should really read, Ha'isha niknet b'shlosh derachim o b'kesef o b'shtah o b'beer. One of the three. Now, you know what's amazing? You have three different ways to marry a woman. Nowadays, everyone gets married one way. Kesef. Shtar and Bia have completely been negated, abrogated. All of you who are married, and I was at some of your weddings, at least I can testify, I was at Jacob's wedding, and I can testify that Jacob got married with Kesef. There is nobody else in this room who is married, who got married any other way. And I don't care if you want to show off, and you want to tell stories and fairy tales, no matter what you tell me, I'll show you got married with Kesef. You cannot shock me, there's nothing you can tell me that will shock me. I've lived too long and I've studied too much Torah and too much responsible literature. And I've heard too much Lashon Hara in my day. Believe me, there's nothing you can tell me that will shock me in the area of sexual liaisons between men and women. But all of you got married with Kesef. Now, this is amazing. Shtar, beer, totally forgotten. Now, why? 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 Why are they totally forgotten? Number one, we'll come back to this, and this is very important. Beer is pritzut. You understand? In order to get married with beer, you have to be in a very high level. You have to be a tzaddik. People took Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld always tells the story about his grandfather. His grandfather had about 8 children, and his grandfather felt he couldn't support any more children. He didn't have the nerves to handle any more little kids. From that moment on, he said to his wife, "We have enough children." They slept in 2 separate bedrooms. According to Fabian, they never lived together again. Their whole concept of living together was just to have children. They had children. The woman said she doesn't want, she waves owner, she's not interested. 2 separate bedrooms. You have to be on a level of Yaakov Avinu, of the Imahot, where Rachel and Leah plead for the skut of living with Yaakov Avinu, to have children, to have the shiftei kar. We are not on that level, but we don't have to feel bad. Saul, it's not just that we're not on that level. Already at the time of Chazal, you follow me, Mark? At the time of Chazal, they weren't on that level. And the Gemara, and we'll come to it, they outlawed bia, it's pritzot. We don't use bia to marry a woman bisman hazeh. It's absolute pritzot that you're going to tell. Imagine in the Upper West Side of New York, right near Lincoln Square Synagogue, a guy's going to rent a room in a hotel, take 2 of the tzaddikim and stand them outside, take the tzaddikim and say, "I'm taking this girl in to have sexual relations with her for the sake of marriage, and you 2 guys have to stand out here for 9 minutes. You're my witnesses." Ribbono shel Olam, this is pritzot. This is Madonna, this is Michael Jackson, whatever their names are, etc., etc. We don't do that. Chazal already outlawed it. So that's gone. Be it. Chuck it. 1/3 of the Mishnah, no longer applicable. What about Shtah? What's wrong with Shtah? Now here you have to look at the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Hei Yomer Aleph. And the Gemara says, Omakra v'yatsa v'hayta makish havaya liyitziya ma yitziya b'shta af havaya b'shta. You know what that means? It means exactly the way you give a get, you have to give a get to get married. Now I use the word get. Again, you have to know Shas. In order to appreciate what I'm doing now, you have to know the sugyas. All of you know, Tosfos already says that the word get means shtah. Right? Then he finds a remez, get, 12 shurat, get, you know, the gematria, 12 shurat, but get means shtah. It means you have to marry a woman like you give her a get. Now, what's the secret of a get? What makes a get into a get? A get has to be written, l'shma, l'shma, l'shem, gerushin. It's an amazing thing. There's no such thing. Imagine you're walking past the mashbir l'tzachan, and you're mad at your wife, you're newlyweds, and she didn't make your eggs properly in the morning, or she didn't comb her hair properly, or she didn't talk nicely to your mother. What can happen with young couples? And you're mad at your wife, and you decide you're going to scare the hell out of her. And you go into the Mashpil at Sachan, and you buy a get, they have ready-made gittin, just fill in the names. And you're going home and you're all excited and you're going to teach your wife a lesson. You're going to happen to leave it on the table and you're going to frighten her. Gentlemen, number one, Bizman Hazer, women don't get frightened. That's a different story. They earn more money than we do, so what do they need us for? Number two, Ellie, if your wife is a lamdanit, she's going to take that piece of paper and throw it in your face and say to you, "You rotten, malicious, malicious, he's handy, filthy, pregnant, mouth, level, and no good amaritz. Go back to BMT and start learning all over again." A ger has to be written l'shma, l'shmo, l'shem, gerushin. And if a get has to be written that way, then you would have to write a shtah kedushin that way. And that's very hard. It's not a ktuvah. It's not a ktuvah. A ktuvah, what do? Jacob forgot about the ktuvah. He didn't want to remember whatever it was. He had a mental block. The last day, Rabbi Khan called him, "Are you bringing a ktuvah?" He ran out to a store, and he had a choice of over 100 different beautiful ktuvah. All you do is fill in the name, right or wrong. Take it off the printing plant, right or wrong. That's a ktuvah. What does that have to do with a shtah kedushin? You understand why a ktuvah is worthless? All a ktuvah is, it's a guarantee, like you buy an Electra washing machine or refrigerator in Israel or Amcor, and they give you a guarantee and they fill in the name. All that Ketubah is a guarantee that you're going to be a good husband, you're going to support your wife, you're going to be responsible for her financially and physically, you're going to take care of her, you're going to treat her properly the way Jewish men treated Jewish women throughout the millennium. I would add a postscript that to any Ketubah today, that you have to promise your wife that you have faithfully listened to Aaron Rakefet's lectures on working out a happy marriage that he gives every year at Midrashic Moriah. I would not let anyone get married who did not hear those lectures. Understand me? I've seen too much of life. I'm too frightened by what I see. So that's the Ketubah. Fill in the name. Because it's so difficult. It would be fantastic. I would love it. Imagine you have to bring a seif at every wedding, and you have to write, become fun, and everyone have to run to mikvah. And the Adam, and you'd have to stop the band from making noise. That would be my greatest pleasure. No music for 1 hour. No one would have to have cotton in their eardrums. And it would be unbelievable. You could have a ketuvah written like a shtar kedushin. Marry her with a shtar. But in practice, disappeared. Too difficult. The last time anyone got married with a shtar that I know of was they found papyrus in ancient Egypt from Bayit Rishon, I believe it was. There was some community down there, and they found a shtar kedushin, mamish haret mekudeshet li b'shtar zeh, kedat moshe b'Yisrael, something like that wording. That's the last time it was ever used, some 2,000 plus years ago. Yes. No. Chas v'chalila. I'm being asked if it's asa. It's absolutely not asa. And if Gadi Dishi wants to do something different at his wedding, God wants to show the world he's innovative, he can send an invitation. At 6 o'clock, the first shtar kedushin will be written in 2,300 years. Please be on time. Nothing wrong with it in the world. However, we live in a conservative world with a small c. I can assure you, the Rabbanim wouldn't be too happy about it. I saw Rabbi Kahn with your ketuvah. He had lots of problems filling out a pre-ketuvah. You know what I'm talking about. Look at your ketuvah carefully. You'll see there are problems there. And that's already a pre-ketuvah where Jacob is here and the girl is here and everyone is there. Plenty of problems. Believe me, the Rabbanim wouldn't be too happy. But this is not bia. Bia is pritzot. Writing a proper shtar kedushin could be beautiful, uplifting. Adarabba v'yadarabba, but no one does it because it's so difficult. And then if he makes a mistake, you have to start all over again. It's just like a get. And a get, you know very well, takes a good few hours to be masadar a get properly till you begin, and the Kabbalat Kinyan and the Eid and the Pen and the Adam and the Moshe Hadar, and he's doing it out of his own free will, and he writes it, and Chas v'Chalila, you suddenly don't know the name, how do you spell the name, and the problems, and the rabbi was lackadaisical, didn't have time to prepare it in advance. I've seen Gittin already, it's torture. Could you imagine at a wedding what can go on in the name of the father and Balei Tshuva? They don't know the name. There's no Hebrew name. There was a Hebrew name. The Hebrew name is forgotten. Which name do you use? It's not so simple. Okay. Now, so look what happened. Due to sociological, economic, psychological, moral implications, whatever way you look at it, beer was excluded. Shtar was excluded. So, we're now left with the Mishnah, where halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah should read, ha'isha niknet b'derech achat b'kesef. And that's what we use. Now, what does kinyan kesef mean? What does it mean exactly? What made it so easy? What are the components? There are three components to kinyan kesef. Number one, the amira. Number two, the netina, and number three, the eitah. These are the three components. He has to say something, he has to give something, and there have to be eidim. Eidut, what we call in Briska language, l'kiyum hadavah. In other words, giving a girl a ring in a closet does not create kedushin. You have to give her the ring in front of two eidim. Now let's analyze this. And let's look. All three components are very simple. First of all, the language.
Look at the Gemara in Kedushin. Daf Vav Amid Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan. Harayat Ishti. Harayat Arusati. Harayat Tinuyali. Mukudeshet. Harayat Shali. Harayat Pirushuti. Harayat Skukali. Mukudeshet. Very fascinating. There is no halacha that you have to say Harayat Mukudeshet li betabatzu kedat Moshe of Yisrael. No halacha whatsoever. This is Minig Yisrael. Many times we break our teeth on it when we have Chatan Vakala who don't know what's going on. I mean, we're not talking about Bnei Torah. All of you know from childhood on, from the first time you learn Masechet Kedushin or learn Masechet Gittin, where all these sugyas come up, all of you know, Harayat Mukudeshet li betabatzu kedat Moshe of Yisrael. You don't know how you have to break your teeth, and we'll come back to this many times during the course of the next few years, but it's my very simple example of the rabbi who is frum, and in his frumkeit, he destroys the Torah. Meaning, you have a couple, they're getting married, and you say to the chatan, you've practiced with him, and you say, repeat after me, harei. Chatan says, harei. At, at. Mukudeshet, mukudeshet. Then the rabbi's worried stiff, that the girl might misinterpret, so he says to the chatan, say li. So the chatan repeats, say li. The rabbi says, no, you say li. The chatan thinks it's a Chinese exercise. He says to the girl, you say li. And I have seen this under the chuppah. You can blow your brains out. Lu haya biyadi. If I had the power, I'd have every chatan, whatever language you want, say to be my tutsi, be my sweetheart, be my love boat. Let's play guys and dolls together. Whatever language he understands, because this is crazy. You say, Harayat Mukudeshet, you say Li, say Li, Chung Fung Yung, you know, by the time he's finished, the guy thinks the rabbi's a Chinaman. And by the way, the Altamira, I don't know if you know, when I was growing up, all the Altamira look Chinese. I'll never know whether it was psychological in our minds or what. Look at pictures of Reb Henoch Fishman, my Rebbe, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha. He looked like a Chinaman. Look at Reb Gershon Yankelevich up close. His eyes look Chinese. So when I was a kid, Harayat Mukudeshet, you say Li, Fung Chung Yumun. To me, it was obvious the Torah came from China anyway, Shanghai. He spoke Chinese. You see, here. I would have, you have to understand, I'll pee din, there's no halacha. Tana rabbanet, ishti yareyat, rusati yareyat, knu yali, mukudeshet, harayat shali yareyat, rushuti yareyat, skukali, mukudeshet. Halavai, we could say, bizman hazeh, harayat skukali, you need me. You are not complete. Your metaphysical being is not complete. Join me in creating a metaphysical unit. And with that, give her the ring. Your Mukudeshet, the Oraita, 100%. And that's, so you see, it's very simple. There's no formula here. I would venture to say that a BMT wise guy who had a Hershey candy bar gets hold of a Michlala girl and waves the candy bar in her face and the girl is panting with passion for that candy bar, all he has to say is, the candy bar, I give it to you and you're my sweetheart forever. And she grabs it in front of two witnesses. She is absolutely married, 100%. It's the easiest thing in the world. You see how Kesef Kedushin is easy? That's number one. Okay. Number two. Yeah, yeah. In the Gemara, yeah. No, you don't even get that Moshe Israel is from Kai. What are you talking about? All those Nuchan is not Adot Nishot. You understand? Talk like a London. When the Gemara already says, it means be my sweetheart, be my lovebird, be my love song, share a tombstone with me. You understand? It doesn't only mean those words. Etc. Etc. I'm being serious. You understand? Did that Moshe of Israel? That's firm kai. There are reasons why we'll come to it. You're right. And if you don't say Kedat Moshe Yisrael, if for the sake of argument the Chassan was so emotional that he lost his voice under the chuppah, and you hear him say, Haret Mekudeshet Li, and at that moment he loses his voice, give it a ring. Finished. Don't need it. You're married. Very easy. Very simple. Okay. Now, you know what else makes it simple? The giving of something is symbolic. All you need is a shava prita. It's not that you have to go out and buy something and something expensive. It's just amazing. All you need is a shava prita. As a matter of fact, we have a different problem, that the rings we give are too expensive. You know what I'm talking about. This is why we encourage, under the chuppah, give the girl the simplest ring possible. Because we don't want the girl to marry you thinking she's getting a ring with a diamond, with a stone, and this is worth $5,000, $7,000. No. Let the girl know it's the simplest ring in the world. Let it be plain. And so this is our minig. We don't have any engraving on the ring. Nothing that will interfere and change the value. The simpler, the better. You want to give an expensive wedding band afterwards with diamond studs? Well, do that afterwards. Under the chuppah, minig Yisrael, we use the simplest ring possible. And this is a shava prita, that's all you need. And this is why it's always laughable when the Masada Kedushin under the chuppah shows the ring to the two Edim and he says, no, it has a shava prita. Here the guy bought a gold band, and even if it's a platinum band, whatever it is, he spent a few hundred dollars, and the Edim have to say, yeah, it has a shava prita. That's all you need, a shava prita, the simplest thing in the world. Not only that, the Edut is very simple. As long as they're kasheli eidut, they're not psulim, and they're not related to the chatan v'kala, any two eidim, 13 years and up, are eligible. And you don't need any preparation whatsoever. It's not something you have to prepare and have to get ready. Let me tell you a little story. B'didi haviyufta. I'll tell you a little story that will take you back to the Bronx, that will show you what it was like growing up in the Bronx in the 1940s into the 50s. There I was, walking along the concourse. I must have been maybe 14, 15 years of age. And this reverend, we used to have reverends in America. They were all over the place. They all had wedding halls and reverends, and they were mohalim. They made a living. Many of them were earnest and honest and sincere. Many of them were legitimate, but they were reverends. I don't know if this concept exists today, a reverend. I don't know. Yeah. Well, Jesse Jackson, Zalazayn Gesund, he gets stoned in Hebron, he doesn't know enough to run away. But this was a reverend. I don't know, do we have reverends in America? I don't think so. I think this type of religious practitioner disappeared. So as I'm walking on the concourse, the man, this reverend, runs out of this little hole in the wall, and he says to me, he knew I was Jewish, and I looked Jewish. He said, do you write Hebrew? I said, yes. Oh, thank God, thank God. Can you give me 10 minutes? And he brings me in. He needed a second aide on the ketuvah. He was one aide. I was the second aide. No preparation. I was walking along the concourse, minding my business. Maybe I was going to Alexander's, because in my day, shopping, whenever you needed anything new, you went to Alexander's. Alexander's and shopping were synonymous. There was no other place that you shopped outside of Alexander's. So I was heading for Fordham Road, the palace of shopping, Alexander's, and this reverend, I saved his life. It had to be Burnside Manor. He was ready to be Masada Kedushin, and somehow he forgot he didn't have a second aide. All the people there were either related, or they didn't know how to write Hebrew, and he was honest enough, he needed someone. The truth of the matter is, you don't have to write Hebrew. You can be an aide on a ketuvah, if you explain. You can sign with a fingerprint too, you know what I'm talking about. You can sign with a fish, whatever you sign with, whatever a palm branch, whatever's your signature. And it came up at your wedding, right? Where's Nathan? Right? You signed, and he told you sign. What was it, that tonight you were signing, or the ketuvah? It was the ketuvah. So he signed Nathan Goldberg. He signed his signature. He said, sign your signature. You signed the signature. No, certainly kasher. It's no problem with the avad. We sign a certain way with your father, the father's name, etc. Okay. So it shows you, look how simple Kesef Kedushin is. Not like Viyu, which is priesthood. Not like shtar that would take endless preparation, the cloth and the quills and the edim and the cipher and the kavana and everything involved. Kesef Kedushin, the simplest concept in the world. The amira, the netina, the edim are so simple. And this is why Kesef Kedushin conquered the world, became the monopoly, thrust out shtar and bia, they're forgotten. They're just there for study, but Kesef Kedushin conquered the world. Okay, now I'll pick up in a second. Yes, what was your question? I'm sorry I cut you off. I just wanted to finish my point. Okay, now we come to the problem. Yeah. B'dieved it counts. The Shaila would have bought Simonim. I understand what you're saying. So you can be baitek if there's Simonim. What's the problem? But you give the kid a chazaka. Nowadays we call up kids to the Torah. They make bracha. I never yet saw anyone be baitek for Simonim. Right or wrong? Could be. But no matter which way you turn, b'dieved it certainly. You'll see in a minute that even without a bedika, you'll see in a minute that. It solves the problem. You'll see in a minute why. Now, because Kesef Kedushin conquered the market, it created the greatest amount of problems halachically. Because it is such a simple kinyan, it engendered endless problems. Now, what do I mean by that? Number one, with sexual intercourse, there would never be a problem. Everyone would know, did he have intercourse or didn't he have intercourse? Guy walks into the room, puts two Adam outside, there's no problem. Shtar, there would never be a problem. Did he write the shtar? Did he arrange the shtar? There'd never be a problem. Where does the problem begin? With Kesef. Because it's so weak, and because it can happen so quickly, it engenders endless problems. Now, let me give you an example. Number one, take
this class, Jay Weitzman, Dave Schwartz. I don't see him. No, Yaakov Blau. Is this this class? No, that's the other class. Okay. No wonder I didn't see him. Now, Jay Weitzman, Boaz Mori, Nathan Goldberg, Gad Dishi, Eli Schick, Jason Nippel, Avraham Goldman, Jacob Rosenthal, Jay Pasner, Mark Feder, Shlomo Holman. Where's Shlomo? Uri Cohn. Avi Baumel, Zev Itzkowitz, Yaakov Kermeyer, Morty Hackle. Are these guys back? Everyone is back? Evan Barth. Sal, send my felicitations to all the guys that are absent. Tell them I asked to be remembered. Thank Danny. Is Danny in the country? Danny Pava? He made a nice donation to Shvatami, but it came from an American address, and I thank to the American address, but tell him I thank him. Okay. Now, gentlemen, the underlying rule here, and let's understand something. Let me just say one other word by way of introduction that I don't want to take for granted, but all of you should understand what I'm referring to. I've told you more than once. Those of you who know me, and some of you know me very well for years already, know that Torah is the sole motivating factor of my existence. And I take Torah very, very seriously. Now, you call me with a Shela. I told you more than once. If you call me with a Shela in Yontif Sheni, you don't get me upset. I'm not going to lose any sleep. Yontif Sheni, no matter what I paskin, I can't be right. And it can't be wrong. And you know that. So before Yontif, I got a lot of questions. I paskin what I paskin. I didn't lose any sleep on it. Call me with a question in Kedushin, I get very frightened. Why? Because whenever you're dealing with Kedushin or Gittin, you're dealing with Eshet Ish. And Chas v'Chalila, if you make a mistake in Eshet Ish, you're dealing with Mamzerut. And there's nothing in the world that can remove the stigma of Mamzeret, or Chas v'Chalila, you're dealing with an Aguna, and all of you understand there's nothing in the world that can solve the problem in Aguna if the husband is gone and she can't get a get. There's no greater problem. I don't know of any greater problem halachically. And if that boy gave the girl the candy bar and told her Haret Mekudeshetli in front of Edom and they don't know the halachat, they're married. And they don't even know that they're married. By the way, right here in BMT in the 70s, when I used to give a shir in halacha to the second year fellows, a fellow from South Africa, and he's listening to me explain Kedushin, and it suddenly dawned upon him that in South Africa, one time on a yontif, he was a wise aleck teenager. No, South Africans didn't have yeshiva, couldn't learn that much. But he went and gave a girl a gift in front of two edim. His girl, he had a sweet tooth on, her etma kudeshetli, and the guy almost fainted. I want you to know that we asked the Shaila, Rav Shlomo Zalman, he gave the girl a get. Gave the girl a get. Baruch Hashem, that girl later did not marry a Kohen. You know, it's a terrible problem, because to give a get l'chumr is no big deal, so you give the girl a get. The problem is, once you give a girl a get, you've eliminated her chances of marrying a Kohen. And that's where the problem begins. So, but you have to understand, you're dealing here with Eishitish, you're dealing here, I get frightened, this is, imagine someone calls me with a question on AID. What am I, an idiot? You heard my lectures last year, you heard what the Rav said. What was it last year? When did we deal with that? 2 years ago? I forget already. Or was it this year? I forget. When did I deal with AID? Was it this year? Remember? Where artificial insemination donor. Where the Rav himself said, I don't know what the paskin. The Rav said, I know all the sources. I can see it either way. I'm frightened stiff. The Rav is frightened. Believe me, if my name would be Soloveitchik, I would think, what am I frightened of? I can carry everything on my shoulders. It's Eshetish. It's Mamzeret. So this is the frightening aspect. Now look what happens here. See, it's psychological. Because it's Eshetish, because you're dealing with the most difficult dinim, dioraita, with the most severe implications. Because remember, Mamzeret perpetuates itself. See, it's ad infinitum. It's not like two generations, Dor Shlishi Yavo Lechem. It's not 10 generations. It's Afilu Bar Asiri. It's the Olam Ve'ed. Kids are Mamsa. Doesn't matter the man, the woman, doesn't matter who the Mamzer is. The children are Mamzerim. It's like a weak gene that always wins out. It always perpetuates itself. So because it's so dangerous, we're always Machmir. We're always Cheshish. And this is what I'm trying to develop here, that there's a double-edged sword. On one hand, Kesef Kedushin won out because it's the easiest to do. Beer is pritzut, star is very difficult, Kesef Kedushin is so simple. Because it's so simple, every time there's the slightest sheila, we are machmir. And because we're machmir, labriyot, we have endless questions as a result. Had star won out, had beer won out, I wouldn't have anything to talk about. I would have to find a different topic for the next 2 years. There'd be nothing to worry about. Because shtar and bia, you absolutely can't make a mistake. Certainly with shtar, no mistake is possible whatsoever. With bia, perhaps there are some problems, but very few. But kesef, and now watch. The Gemara in the Durim, Pezayin Omer Aleph. The Hilchata, Toch Kedei Dibro Kedibadami. Chosmi Magadev. of the avodat kachavim, umakadesh, umagaresh. What does it mean? Gentlemen, all of you have had this problem halachically for the last few weeks. Can anyone tell me who can read the Rebbe's mind? What am I talking about? Look, I can hear. Sviatom is minor. Of course. How many of us remember to say between Mashavuruch Hamod HaGeshem? What do we say in Eretz Yisrael? Morit Hatal. No? How many of us find we stumble over our words? But we have no problem. Toch kedei dibo, kedei badami. As long as you correct yourself, toch kedei dibo, you don't have to repeat it. V'tein talumot levar, v'tein bracha. Toch kedei dibo. Instantaneously. If you don't correct yourself instantaneously, then you have to go back, and depending where you are, depends where you have to start from. That is in every concept in the world. We say, toch kedei dibo, you can correct yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows for human frailties, and toch kedei dibur, you can erase what you said before. No, it's like a shir. Remember, one time I was saying Habdallah, I meant Kiddush. One time I said the sisters instead of the brothers with Jeepen, with the Rav. I was just listening to a tape of the Rav. He was so confused, the audience had to shout twice at him to correct him. But his mind, I know, he was, you know, moving ahead. He was confusing Yerubim with Rechavim. You follow me? He was dealing with the Gemara in Chelek with Chazabacha, Chazabacha, Mi Barosh. And two or three times he kept on saying Rechavim when he meant to say Yerubim. So you correct it. It's no big deal. Toch kedei dibur kedei badami. Four areas where no correction will help. Megadeh. But what concerns us here, Kedushin and Gerushin. Now what does this mean? What does this mean? A guy says to a girl, Hareyat Mekudeshet Li Behrishi Bazu Kedat Moshe Yisrael, and instantaneously says, oh no, I made the mistake of my life, I didn't mean to say it, I take it back, erase it, rewind the tape. Toch kedei dibur. Nothing helps. He is married. That is a chumrah. That is a chumrah that we're choshish by kedushin. And right away, here you see, nothing in the world can undo that original statement. And you can multiply this by tens of thousands of times that the question came up. The guy says, I was joking. I tried to frighten you. My emotions got the best of me. I didn't mean it. Nothing helps. He said Hareit Mekudeshet. He said some Lashon of Kedushin. He married her. The fact that he changed his mind instantaneously, this is one of four cases in the Halacha where changing your mind instantaneously doesn't help. So this is one example where because Kesef Kedushin is so simple, its simplicity becomes a major problem. Yes, Jane. Say that we'll get to it. Put it aside. Now let's just put down the Gemara. The problem is there. Toch kedei dibur. Anything else you can change your mind. When it comes to these four areas, avodat kachavim, megadeh. Oh, I didn't mean to curse at God. I didn't mean it. I said the wrong thing. Like George and Seinfeld, you understand? George is always saying the wrong thing, and he always gets into trouble. Has no tact. No, I didn't mean it, George Shells. I didn't mean it. Didn't mean it. Doesn't help in these four areas. Then I'll show you something else. I'll show you something else. Part of the problem. Imagine, I'm going to give you an example in your language. Very simple. All right, a Sheva Prutta is not much. We'll all agree. I don't know what a Sheva Prutta would equal in Israeli money today. I don't know what it would equal in American money. But let's say we'd have to ask, does anyone know who the greatest expert in the world is on monetary matters, economics, and the Gemara, the Talmudic economics? Who's the greatest expert in the world? No? Danny Sperber, Rabbi, Doctor, Professor Danny Sperber, Bar Ilan University. Chatan Pras Yisrael, last Yom Atzmaut. You are not far, doesn't live far from where you live, where I live. fantastic individual, unbelievable individual, very admirable individual, such as a human being. I mean, that family, I stand in awe. They have a flock of children, adopted a child afterwards. I'm tzaddikim, mamish tzaddikim. I remember him yet as a single fellow, and today he's way, way ahead of me with children, and he'll have grandchildren. The guy will hit 100 grandchildren yet. Bezrat Hashem. Nathan? So we'd have to ask Danny Sperber. He's a great expert or a doctorate on this. But let's say, for the sake of argument, a Sheva Pruta today, what it was worth at the time of Chazal, what it's worth today, let's say it's 10 cents. Okay? Let's say, in our money, it's a Chatzi Shekel. That's the Sheva Pruta. I'm thinking aloud, okay? Let's say it's 10 cents, 5 cents, a nickel. Fine. Tell me, what about if you gave a woman a raisin? Anyone recognize the Gemara? No? You gave a woman, I'm using a slightly different example than the Gemara, a raisin. Tell me, raisins, how much do they cost? In Israel, you buy a kilo raisins, 10 shekel, 12 shekel. In America, you buy a pound of raisins, what is it, $1.39, $1.49, $1.59, what's the difference? No one in the world will say that a raisin is a Sheva Pruta. One single, solitary raisin. No. What does the Gemara say? Kedushin, Daf Yud Bet, Amid Aleph. Omer Shmuel, Kidsha B'Tamra. They don't use the example of a raisin, but they use the example of a date. He married her with a date. Afilu on made kur tamarim bedina, even if you can buy a bushel of tamarim for one dina, for one shekel, for $1, like a raisin. I only gave you an example of a raisin because dates today cost more than raisins. Right there, your taka may have a sheva prut on a date today. But a raisin, no one in his right mind would say, it's like marrying a girl, you're going to take a Rice Krispies. You take one grain of Rice Krispies, haret mukudeshetli. And you know what the Gemara says? Yom Mekudeshet. Why? Chashinan Shema Shava Pruta B'madai. That we're chayshish. That it's worth a Shava Pruta in Madai. Where is Madai? It's the other end of Russia. Go to Siberia. You know how much a raisin would be worth? How much a little date would be worth in Siberia? You have any idea what a bottle of liquor that you could buy for $10 in America, what that bottle of liquor was worth in Moscow, was worth in St. Petersburg? This is Sheva Pruta B'Madai. You have any idea what Hershey Kisses are worth to an American or left from Brooklyn who they won't allow anymore to come in Aliyah? Paris introduced the bill now. No one from Brooklyn will be allowed to come in Aliyah for the next 100 years. But you have any idea, to an American, you can buy a Hershey bar for 30 cents and then you bring it to Israel? And I used to read guides, manuals, you know, I get them angry. Oh, when you go to Israel, snore off your relatives, snore off your friends, carry a pack of Hershey bars with you and you'll see how far it will get you. You understand? That's Sheva Pruta B'Madai. So the Gemara goes on. I forget who asked me the question before. Who asked me before? I forget. Jay, I think you asked it. But you're right. Sheva Pruta B'Madai is Kedushay Safed. Yes, the Gemara says, what do you mean it's Kedushin? For Anan Tanan, the Pruta, the Sheva Pruta, here, now. But the Gemara answers, Lo Kasha, Habe Kedushay Vadai, Habe Kedushay Safed. And what does it mean, Kedushay Safed? It's that old problem. Because it's Kedushin, because it's a shetish, because there's so much halachically at stake, we are always choshesh l'chumra. And it's only the Rabbanan, but nevertheless, it's safek kedushin d'oraita. Halacha l'maisa, she can't do anything without a get. And this is another problem with Kedushin, with the Amira, etc. More than that, let's go one drop further. Kedushin Daf Nun Amid Bet, a very basic, important sugya. Watch. God Where is your girlfriend at this moment? She's in Yerushalayim. Fantastic. What's coming this week, Be'ezrat Hashem? What great day of celebration, which they may allow you to celebrate. I don't know yet. Yossi Sarig has to give a psak, whether you're allowed to celebrate. It's a chauvinistic holiday. Shalom Adelani. God, let me give you some advice. You better send your fiancé a gift for Yom HaTzmut. And don't tell me it's Svira. You better remember her. A woman wants to be remembered. A woman doesn't want to be forgotten. You haven't taken on Rick Kefet's course on how to work out a happy marriage. You better get there, put a wig on, and get into the class immediately. God, you better send her a gift. No, does anyone see a problem? You're done right, he's going to send her a gift. No, Avraham, give me the Gemara in Kedushin. Chay shishin l'sivlanot. The Gemara in Kedushin, daf nun amid bed. Itma, Rav Huna Rama, chay shishin l'sivlanot. V'cheina maraba, chay shishin l'sivlanot. Oh, what are we talking about here? Misha shidach isha, Rashi's so careful with his words. Hishtatachti, I got engaged. Misha shidach isha. And he sent her a gift. It could very well be with that gift you have married her. It's Kesef Kedushin. If that gift arrives in front of two witnesses and she accepts it, she is married. And the Rishonim explain, I don't want to frighten God. I'm not telling him to be cheap. You send her a gift this week, because most Rishonim learn Pshat in the Gemara. This was when it was a minhag to send the Sivlan with Lashem Kedushin. You follow me? This was the minhag. This was their lifestyle. That they would get engaged, in our language, shidduch, and then they would make the Yerusin by sending a beautiful gift. And you can imagine now all the questions that came up in the course of time, where you lived in communities where Sivlanut was the minhag, and the guy innocently sent the gift, and he didn't realize he had married her with that gift. And once again, it comes back to the simplicity of the kingdom. Because it's so simple, it becomes so difficult. Because it's so simple, it engenders so many sveikot. And that's the Gemara, Choshishin L'Sivlanot. We're not finished yet. But watch. Look what you've done. Look what you've done with Kesef Kedushin. Gives her what? Even a raisin. Choshishin that in Madai, the raisin is worth a fortune. Sivlanot. Maybe the gift he's sending is Kesef Kedushin. Now, I'm not, La'alacha, you don't have a problem, Bisman Hazeh, because we don't do that anymore. But 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, you sending her a gift for Yom HaTzmut would have entered the response to literature. All over, every kid knows, Baruch Hashem, Mashavuch, oh, no, I made a mistake. The Teng Tau. Made a mistake. Toch kidei dibur is fine. Change it. The Teng Tau Lamatu Levra, no, I made a mistake. Toch kidei dibur is fine. Kedushin? No. Not only that, it's another sukkah. Samachei Omid Bet. Let's go back to the bus stop. Oh my. With all of Rabbi Koopman's efforts, there is still only one bus stop for BMT Gris Mechlala. Two bus stops today? That's a result of the Haredim taking over the city, Baruch Hashem. And the Tikkun says, Nashim Gvarim.
It doesn't mean anything. As long as it doesn't have a sign. I love the bakeries in Meir Shearim. You ever see the lines? It says, the men here, the women here. Inevitably, the men are all served by a woman, and the women are all served by a man. Watch next time you go into one of these bakeries with separate lines. Gentlemen, let's go back at the bus stop. The boy gives the girl the Hershey bar, and the girl is sweating, and she thinks she's married, and finally, they investigate. There was only one other boy there. Only one aide. Can they relax? Absolutely not. Gemara Kedushin, Samechei Yomad Bet. Omer Rabba Barav Huna. Hamakadesh B'Aid Echad. Rav Paparama Choshishin Luk Kedushin. And there's an entire sugya. What is the halacha when you have only Eid Echad by Kedusha? And it's not simple. The Gemara is at a very basic Gemara. What is the whole concept of Pishnei Dim and Shloshei Dim? What do you need it? Is it Lekiyum Dava? Is it Labira Dava? What if the Eid Kedusha is only needed Labira Dava? And you know as a fact what happened, and all you have is one Eid. Could very well be that may be sufficient, b'diavad. Again, it's Safek Kedushin. It's not Vatai Kedushin. But no matter which way you look at it, even a Safek Kedushin with a Din Dioraita, Safek Dioraita L'chumra. So, take a look all the problems you have. And if you think that's sufficient, no, it even goes further. It may very well be that because the act of getting married is so simple and so easy to accomplish, Chazal ultimately required nothing. They were even choshesh for a rumor alone. A rumor. Sufficient. Look at the sugya. Gittin. Pechet amid bet. The Mishnah says, Yotza Shma Be'ir Mekudeshet, Hareza Mekudeshet. And what does it mean? And Rashi explains so beautifully. Pnuya Sheyotza Leh Kol Plonit Mekudeshet Hayom LePloni. That a rumor started spreading in the city that this young maiden married this young man. It may very well be that that's sufficient to establish a cheskat kedushin. So you might say, rumors? Wait a minute. Ain't the dove itself? You all know rumors. What rumors can spread? What people can do with rumors? I don't have to tell you. You all live in a world that newspapers sell thousands, tens of thousands of copies on rumors. So the Gemara, look and pay tet. And without a figure, the Gemara says, no, it doesn't exactly mean a rumor. And the Gemara spells it out. V'chein tov tani leifi, lo she yishmu kol havara. Ela, kedei she yeho, neirot dolkot, mitot mutzot, nashim tavot la hanea, usmechot la v'yomrat, roni, mitkadeshet hayom. Oh, and the Gemara spells it out so beautifully. The women are singing. They're weaving the clothes, getting the colors trousseau ready, and everyone is singing, you're getting married in the morning, ding dong, the bells are gonna ring. Right or wrong? There it is. There's the Gemara. Everyone is ready. You didn't see anything. No one saw the condition. All we saw were the lights, the candles, the women spinning, the trousseau. Everything is ready. Everyone is singing. Everyone is happy. And then a rumor spreads that she got married. Gentlemen, she is married. Once again, it may only be a Safek Kedushin, but Safek Dioraita L'Chumra. What you were involved here is Eshet Ish. So look what happens when we talk about Kesef Kedushin. My point is absolutely right. Kesef Kedushin because of its simplicity, conquered the market, cornered the market. The easiest way to get married. Everyone gets married with Kesef Kedushin. Kesef Kedushin, because of its simplicity, created and engendered endless halachic problems. And Chazal were chayshish right down the line, because it's suffik deal right there, it's eshet bish with all the chumra involved, and all the fear involved, and all the mamzeret involved. Kol havara, a rumor alone, with just candles burning and women singing, is enough. Eid echad is enough. Sheva pruta b'madda is enough. There's no turning back. Toch kedei dibur kediba dami. Right down the line. Unbelievable. But that's not all. Yes, Avraham. The rumor included what? First of all, the rumor the Gemara talks about is that Kol Havara, that she was married in the normal fashion. But what's the difference if the rumor says she got married with a shtah? So she doesn't produce the shtah, so she'll say she... No, the rumor says she's married, and you take for granted it means kesef, he gave her a gift, that's all. She doesn't have to produce that. And even if the rumor said a shtah, and she can't produce the shtah, maybe she lost the shtah. Maybe the shtah was robbed, maybe the shtah was mislaid. How many people can produce their ketuvah 30 years later? How many times have you seen people have to rewrite a ketuvah time and again, suddenly they realize they don't know what happened to the ketuvah? See, there's one advantage in the state of Israel of getting married here. Basically, you never ever can lose the ketuvah, because a copy of the ketuvah is on file with the Israeli government, with Mishrat HaDatot. So it's very interesting that technically in the state of Israel, the woman can really never lose her ketuvah, because the copy is always on file, can always be retrieved at a moment's notice, assuming that they have, again, I don't have Mishrat HaDatot works, but assuming there's a proper system, which I would hope is Man Hazel with computerization, everything is filed away properly, and with a computer you can recall it in a minute. I don't know how they do it. It's very interesting. Here, basically, a woman cannot lose her ketuvah. But outside of Israel, how many times? My daughter, who's a sofer, my middle daughter, who writes ketuvah, many times has written ketuvah for from people who 30, 40 years later suddenly discovered they don't know where the ketuvah is. I have a very valuable ketuvah, but that's because it's in the Rav's handwriting. See, and I it dawns upon me now, 40 years later, why didn't we ask the Rav to sign the back of the ketuvah? Or why didn't we have a form that Nerachman Ista al Yedei? You know, we don't have a form like that. It would be very fascinating. That would really be unbelievably valuable. Imagine that you would have the Rav's signature at the bottom of the ketuvah. But that we don't have. But that would really be valuable. As a matter of fact, I always say, if I tell you a little story from the Boston Rebbe, the Rav for many years would come to the Boston Rebbe for the Boston Rebbe to sell his chametz. Of course, he had his chumras. He wouldn't rely upon just signing the authorization. He wrote out a whole thing. He needed my share at Admor Mi Boston with his name, and to sell my chametz and be my shliach, and and he would sign it. And then before he would leave, he would give the Boston Rebbe a $10 check. And the Rebbe would say, "No, I don't. What are you giving? No, you're the Rav. You're my Rav. You're selling the chametz. You have tircha." And he would give him a $10 check. The Boston Rebbe never cashed those checks. I guarantee you today that those checks are worth more than the $10, even linked to inflation. You understand what I'm saying? That ain't a chinami. Imagine if the Rav who wrote the ketuvah would sign it at a certain point. There'd be a place for him. It would be wonderful. But anyway, be it as it may, how many ketuvah are lost? Believe me, if you had the Rav signature on your ketuvah, I don't think you would lose it so easily. Okay. Now, let me go one step further. But gentlemen, this isn't all. With all that Chazal dismissed Bia, and it's an open Gemara in El Gidi, the source condition, Daf Yud Bet Amid Bet, where the Gemara says, Rav Mangeit Al the Mekadesh Bia. That's the way at least the Steinsaltz puts the vocalization, yeah, Mangeit. I never knew how to pronounce it. We used to pronounce it Mangeit, I don't know. But he pronounced it Mangeit. And what does it mean? We'll talk about this at a later point, not today.
that Rav gave Malkut, if anyone was Makadesh, a woman with beer, Rav gave Malkut. What does it mean, Malkut? It can't be Malkut the Oraita. It means Makut Madot. It means Malkut the Rabbanan. You know, the Rabbanan, you beat the hell out of the guy for being over and Divrei Chachamim. So Rav gave Malkut. Fine. Rav wanted to stop the practice. Fine. With all that Rav did in trying to stop the practice of marrying a woman with beer, he stopped it, but he didn't stop it. And what do I mean by that? That, okay, fine. He stopped it that we don't use it lachatchila. But bid the avad, aren't there many circumstances that were choshesh for beer? And here, of course, you come to the famous sugya, and these sugyas have unbelievable practical implications. The sugya in Gittin, Daf Pei Aleph Amid Bet. And what is the sugya talking about? Begins on Pei Aleph Amid Aleph. It's an open Mishnah. It's a famous sugya. Hamagareshet ishto vilana imo bupundak. And this, again, it's hard to conceive of it, but in the United States, anything is possible. Couple gets divorced, and they decide to celebrate their divorce by spending the night together in a hotel. It's an open Mishnah. So what do we say? That the very fact that they were miyached in one room, we say the divorce is worthless. With Choshesh, he remarried her that night with beer. Everyone saw them go into the room. And here's the sugya, Ubeit Hillel Savrei, these are the famous words, Ein Adam Oseh Bilato Bilatznut. This is the famous Chazaka of Chazal. I would translate it into English as follows. Man does not treat his sexual intercourse as a mere fornication. We're not dogs. And if a man has intercourse, it's halachically important to him, it is for the sake of marriage. Dogs fornicate. Humans have sexual relations. And that's what the Gemara says. Ein Adam Oseh Bilato Bilatznut. And then the Gemara asks, fine, but you need Adam. You need Adam. Fine, we know there was intercourse. With Cheshish there was intercourse. What about the Adam? And here the famous words of the Gemara, Beit Hillel Savrei, Amrinan, Hein, Hein, Edei Yichud, Hein, Hein, Edei Bia. That Hillel says, it's sufficient if you have Edom that they were Mejached. You don't need Edom for the sexual act itself. Looking to Rashi, Kloma, Kivan Dera'ushin It Yachadu, Ein tzarich eidet shel bia gadol mizeh. Vaday anan sahadei, kivim de gaisei ahadadi, lo pashu zemizeh. And those words of Rashi have frightening halachic implications way down through the 21st century. So what does Rashi say? That a man and woman were married. Once they're married, they had relations many times. They're not frightened of each other. They're used to each other. They're accustomed to each other. So if that's the case, hein hein hei de yuchat, hein hein hei de bia, that as long as we know they were miyached, we can absolutely assume anan sahadei that they had sexual relations. Note the implications are of this Rashi, of this sukkah, of this Gemara, that when it came to bia throughout the millennium, Chazal waived the formal requirements for witnesses to the sexual act. You don't know if you don't need a videotape. You don't have to catch Bibi Netanyahu in the act. It is sufficient just to have witnesses that they entered the room together. Anan sahadi. And this is based upon the Chazaka, Ein Adam
ose bilato bilatsnut. So look what's happened here. Look what's happened here. That not only kesef, but even beer, as much as you try to get rid of it, as much as you try to remove it from the scene, as much as you have negated it, and ein hachinami. No one is getting married through beer, and no one lachatchila can plan it out, and no one is allowed to do it, and lav mangeid aman the mekadesh bebia, and all the strictures against it. But nevertheless, the human being is only a human being. And throughout the millennium, millions of times, men and women have had relations, not married. And take a look. If the Gemara in Gittin is correct, Hein, Hein, Eide Yichud, Hein, Hein, Eide Bia, and Ein Adam Osed Bilato Bilatsnut, and once you're involved with Safek Deoraita, because after all, when all is said and done, the only form of Kenyan which is absolutely the Oraita, is Bia. It's the only form that there's no doubt about. You all know it, Kesef and Shtar. You can go crazy trying to figure out the Rambam Shita. Everyone here has struggled at one time or another with the Rambam and Perek Aleph of Hilchot Ishut. Go and figure out the Rambam Shita. Go and figure out the Tshuva HaRambam. Go and figure out where Kesef and Shtar, what they are, what Divrei Sofer means. But Bia, no one in the world can question it. Kikachi kasha uvala. And here you can see throughout the millennium, even with beer, as much as Rav tried to get rid of it, beer came back to haunt us, and more than that, Chazal waved in beer. There doesn't have to be an Amira, there doesn't have to be Edom. Everything can depend upon an assumption. And Hein Hein Edi Yichud, Hein Hein Edi Beer, Anan Sahadei, Ein Adam Osed Bilato Bilatsnut, and you would have millions of incidents over the millennium where they're married, where she needs to get, and nam sahadai, you can tell me it's only a chashash, so what? Safek deraita l'chumra. She's a safek eshetish. And now you can see where we have so many problems surrounding a simple matter like a little marriage ceremony. Avram, what did you want to ask? Okay. So let me reiterate. Today I've basically given an introductory lecture, simply saying a few words about a Mishnah in Kedushin. You see where our approach is different than is sheer in the yeshiva. In the yeshiva, you're interested in the basic lumdus and the concept of kinyan and the shava prutta and the machloket beit hillel beit shammai and gidrei kinyan, and I can get involved in so much nice brisket Torah and that mishnah, but that's not what we're interested here. Here we're interested in seeing it in a historic, sociological, ethical, economic approach. And I took that simple mishnah and showed you an entire different view, or an entire different level, an entire different reflection of this Mishnah, and how it affects the halachic process or response literature. Now, there's no question kesef is the simplest. Because it's so simple, it becomes so problematic. And I ended off the class that even beer, which prima facie should not haunt us anymore, but even beer becomes a source of endless questions, because even there, Chazal waived the actual aid to the act. Yes, Rav Mangid Almanda Makadish Babir, or Rav Mangid Almanda Makadish Babir, but he didn't say beer was not tofeset. The criminal act would be punished with Malkut the Rabbanon, but the act took place, it took hold, you were married. And once you say we can depend upon an assumption, Anan Sahadeh, and once you accept the Chazakah of Ein Adam Osed Bilato Bilatsnut,
then the problems multiply by the hundreds, the thousands, and in modern times by the tens of thousands. And these are the problems we're going to deal with over the next 2 years, Be'ezrat Hashem. Now, Tuesday is very, very different. I'm finishing out the talk on the Haftorah, which will take 15 minutes, 20 minutes perhaps. And then I'm presenting a paper from the Rav, where you'll see the Rav as a master philosopher. You'll see already, with all due respect to my colleague Rabbi Breinspiegel, you'll see already how the Rav absorbed so much of secular culture, of Christian theology, and how he handles one of the touchstones of religious experience, and where we're different than the church. You'll see it with all drama, the Rav. It's a first-rate, heavyweight shiur, but it's philosophy. Very different. It's not dashanut. It's not homiletics. This is philosophy. Gentlemen, I want to thank those of you that came to my public shiur in memory of the Rav, which Baruch Hashem, I was happy I was able to give. And I'm giving another public shiur in 2 weeks' time from tomorrow night. But unfortunately, it's not going to be here. I wanted it here, but it's a memorial shiur in memory of Mr. Irwin Posen, Zichrono Livracha, who I yet met a few weeks ago, the Sunday before I left for the States, the Sunday of the public shiur. I met him in the bank, and he looked so well. He had recovered from a heart attack, and later that week he died. And I taught, he has four children, all came in Aliyah. I taught many of the children, and I'm going to give a public shiur in his memory, but it's going to be in the NCSY. But that shiur is going to be a critique of democracy. That's on a different topic. It's filled with divrei Torah and insight, and it's a critique of democracy and some of the problems that we have to feel, Torah Jews, who are all brought up in democracy and yet have commitment to Torah. And obviously, there are practical implications to some of the problems we have right now in the state of Israel. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for your kind participation, and until we meet again, in health and happiness, das v'danya. Jacob, how is married life treating you? Very impressed with your wife. I met her the first time, and I was very impressed. Zev, you take these copies from me on Chinuch. You're the one who takes them? I don't remember who takes them. Who takes this? Who wants this? Who's going into Chinuch here in the state of Israel? It's tricks. It's unbelievable what they do here. It's mind-boggling. They're geniuses. The other tape you got from Jay White? I asked him.